This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. James Clark was a professor of English at NC State for years, but when he retired in 2005, he wasn't quite ready to give up teaching. He decided to volunteer at local assisted living centers, churches, and community centers, and he discovered a population of people who really wanted to tell their stories. James helped them do that, and in the process opened up a generation of stories to family, friends, and others. James Clark was awarded the William C. Friday Award for Distinguished Service in Retirement in May, and he joins us now in the studio. Welcome, James. Good to have you here.
Good to be here, Frank.
What made you decide to create these writing seminars for older folks?
I had done work like this while I was still employed at NC State all over the state, and then I decided to concentrate in the Triangle area when I retired in 2005 and was invited to come to Springmore by a couple I had worked with at NC State University.
And tell us what Springmore is.
Springmore is the retirement center in North Raleigh where innovations in assisted living and continuing care, including now Alzheimer's care, made their clientele fun to work with, diverse from everywhere. And there the librarian, Winnie Apperson, and I began a series of life writing workshops, which we continue to enjoy.
So how does that work? How do you recruit? How do you tell people what they're in for?
Winnie, who's the librarian there, as I said, and a resident, she and her husband have lived there some time. They advertise that we're going to have a workshop, and people sign up, and we keep the group of people small so that everyone in the workshop can read to the other participants in every session. And so sometimes we've had to have one at 2 o'clock and another at 4 o'clock to make the small size of the workshop work. But normally we have a dozen people reading once a week or once every 2 weeks. And at the end of it, we let them select the best that they've written in their own judgment, and we publish an anthology, which we put in the library for other people to consult.
So when you pin up your announcement on the bulletin board, what kind of people show up? Are these people who have considered themselves writers their whole life, or are they people who just want to tell a story and tell you, you know, Jim, I don't write. I'm not a writer.
All of that comes along, but I do find that people who self-select for a writing seminar in the community where they live are ready to write. And so one of the first hallmarks of this activity, since the writing is done in their studio apartments or in their cottages, is to write when you are ready. And we give them a week or 2 weeks between workshops so that they can have ample time to write and revise and prepare a copy. And the other thing I tell them that is exciting to them, it allows me to stay out of the way when I say, what you write about will find you. And then when each writing session comes forward, there's a variety of topics to be read to the participants. Not everyone is writing about my first grade teacher. And that's very, very exciting. And what people have been found by that needs writing suggest things that other participants might be found by in the next week, or it helps them remember things that they wouldn't have thought of again.
But are you asking only for personal stories? You're not asking for fiction or any other kind of
writing? We have no fiction that we know of. Though some of it may come by default, and we do encourage people not to be intimidated by the fact that their spouse or their daughter or their son or their sister might say that's not the way it happened at all. We allow people to remember as they remember, and if the other critics want to write their stories, then they're welcome to do that too.
So what kind of stories do you hear?
A lot of the stories have to do with the chosen audience by the individual writers. And I think the most popular thing is for men and women who are in their 70s and 80s writing for their grandchildren about where I have lived, how life was when I was your age, where I went to school, how I ended up in Raleigh or the Triangle area of North Carolina. These are reminiscences of long ago periods of life that the younger generations for these men and women may not know of. And they read them with great care and sometimes very emotionally. They may be brought to tears by what they've written and brought to class, choosing to read. When they read it in a group of people they know, they sometimes have to ask the person sitting beside them, would you finish this for me? this is more powerful than I had thought. And it suggests to me, among other things, that that really did need to be written about.
You get some fairly dramatic stories as well. There was the man who was actually inducted into the Hitler Youth.
That's right. He came to a writing workshop, not at Springmore, where these adventures in writing started in Raleigh, but at the Garner Senior Center. And he had been living in an orphanage in Cologne. And there the Hitler Youth Organization recruited young boys and gave them nice clothing. It was the first time these children had had decent clothing. And this particular man, who's a dear person, said that if the war had not ended when it did, he would have become more Naziistic because the clothing had won his heart.
Any indication that he had told this story before or written it or gotten it out in any way?
He had never told this story before, but computing allowed him to overcome dyslexia in ways that he had never imagined would happen in his lifetime. He could manage a keyboard and with spell check and other things avoid the embarrassment of seeing the printed page.
Oh, I see. So for him, he may not have written this at all had he not able to
So an opportunity to sit in a group of people he liked and to have access to computer technology liberated him to write.
Any indication that this would have been a difficult story for him to tell? The importance of getting that story out, that perhaps this had been a difficult secret for him to keep.
Right. Very clearly so, and sometimes his wife, who was also in the same workshop, would read what he had written to us because he would be too overwhelmed to read it himself. And he also had artistic talents that he would sometimes bring to class to show that not only have I liberated myself to the extent that I can write, but I want you to see what I want you to see what I can carve or what I can paint. He was a very talented man who, if the Second World War had not ended as it did, would have been lost to our awareness in all respects.
You have another story about a family that's right out of the grapes of wrath, it seems
right.
to me.
There was another person who had come to the Garner area to be near her grandchildren. And there she discovered through this writing workshop that she was an amazing storyteller, and she taught herself PageMaker in order to reproduce not just a page or two, but an entire booklet about her life with photographs. And yet it was clear to those of us in the workshop that this astonishingly brilliant woman had never heard of John Steinbeck or read The Grapes of Wrath or seen the movie. And her story was parallel in every respect, from Arkansas, not Oklahoma, to California.
So did you tell her about Steinbeck? Did she read it? And what did she say?
We were a little unsure what to do, and the other people in the class were as astonished as I that this talent was being unleashed, and it was unaware or unself-aware.
Yeah. So there's another great story I have to get you to tell about the House of Ill Repute, the search for the House of Ill Repute.
And the search for the House of Ill Repute is an astonishing story concerning a person who was a no-nonsense lady, and men in the town knew that when men came looking for a House of Ill Repute, if they sent the men to this lady's house, they would get turned around. And so they went to the house. The lady did not excuse them or run them out. She read the Bible to them. She prayed over them. And when she opened her eyes at the end of the prayer, the men had evaporated. They were all gone.
So you send somebody. Somebody comes up asking for, where do I find a little action? And then you send, and they deliberately send them to this preacher woman, essentially.
And this lady was a person who'd been raised in a boarding house. She kept a boarding house in order to sustain her life. But she was straight-laced and Christian. And when these men came, having been sent there on purpose by the local jokesters, she handled them beautifully, and then they fled.
So what's the impact on folks? And if you think about, do you ever speculate what might have happened if someone had done this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, with the same people?
I think that they wouldn't have been ready to write.
Hmm.
They were still in careers or still living in their homes in other states and other places. But now that they're released from their careers and are reunited with children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they want to to write. It's something like what Doris Betts used to say. When Doris Betts, the writer who died recently, was asked, "Why do you write?" She said, "I write because there are things in me that I don't want to die in there." And these men and women have come to the stage of their lives where there are things that they want to preserve, and to preserve it for people they love.
Do they mostly share these stories with family once they write them?
And we bind them and give the bound form back so that they can do that. And some people go on from the workshop and publish perfect bound books of 200 pages or 300 pages.
Anybody in the group that you think should be, or among the people you've worked with, really should go on and become professional writers right now?
I think that that's true. And at Springmore and at other places, I've indicated that I would gladly work with people. I don't do much English teacher editing in the class, but I've sat down with writers after their classes were over, and we've produced books, and that could happen again.
Ever been around when families have seen the work and been a little surprised?
Oh, yes, and I've had people come to class and say, "My daughter said, 'Mother, why did you tell that story?' And she said, 'Because it's true.'"
Got to be told. James, thank you so much for your great work, and thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
Talking with James Clark, awarded the William C. Friday Award for Distinguished Service in Retirement in May. On July 9th, was honored at an event at Springmore Life Care Retirement Community in North Raleigh for his work teaching writing seminars at retirement centers, community centers, and churches around this area. Coming up next, activist Chick Dombach discusses his life waging peace on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.